Midnight Waltz by Ambrosian Lullaby, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of Andrew Hussey. I had met her in the moonlight, shortly after my arrival to the castle, after being all but abandoned by the carriage driver. Countess Mariam had accepted me within her estate. She lived alone, I learned. It was just the Countess in her old, decrepit castle. Perhaps her interest for a home in London had to do with her age. A woman of seniority must have needed a breath of fresh air, new sights, and new people. Miss Mariam made pleasant company and insisted I call her by her first name, Kenia. I found my personal comforts outweighing her desire for familiarity. I initially had to reject her attempts to refer to me as Rose. It did not feel professional. She had invited me to a dinner already made, and offered to let me stay in the castle for the night, which was nicer than having to travel back to town and stay in the same inn as the day before, only to have to make the journey back all over again. I never ended up getting any work done that night. She had been determined to have personal and genuine conversations with me instead. She asked about my life, my family, my friends. I constantly tried to pull the topic back to the task at hand, but the Countess never failed to derail it again within seconds. She wanted to know about me, but I would rather not get that intimate. She was my client, and I was her solicitor. I would find myself caving to some of her pleasantries, though. The questions of what London is like, the people I have met, what I thought of Transylvania. Everything that was not centered entirely around me, I had gifted her an answer to. I doubt the questions about her home were for validation. Truly, it just felt like curiosity regarding how I found the state of things. Countess Mariam just wanted to understand and know my thoughts. Time seemed to stretch on. The meal was perfect, roasted potatoes accompanying a sort of mushroom stew, and her deep red wine was lovely. She had not even touched her plate, but we soon retired to our rooms. She wished me good night as I wiped away the day's lipstick. Miss Mariam had stepped closer in her good wishes. Her thumbnail brushed against my lip, my face caught in her delicate and cold hand. She told me that red was my color, but personally I believe it to be black. It was only when morning struck that I started to realize that things were not right. Breakfast was made, but the Countess was nowhere to be seen. I did not want to be rude and sit down without her. I thought that perhaps she had been looking for me, and I had just barely slipped past her in the halls. I abandoned the treats in search of her, calling out for Miss Mariam and even for Kenia when I received no answer. It was during this exploration that I had found most doors locked, and in the worst cases bolted. This included the front door. It was entirely reasonable to assume at the time that the Countess had simply locked things overnight to prevent thieves from breaking in. I know now that this is not the case. I realized within the hour after I returned to breakfast alone that I might have been a prisoner in the castle. It felt like an unnatural thought. She had been a kind host. If I ignored the tensions from last night and the phantom feeling of her fingers against my cheek, then there was nothing amiss. I had moved to her library soon after the meal. Casing through her collection of books was something to both pass time and settle my nerves. The telling sound of her front door opening told me she had been out. She had made breakfast and then left the castle, locking me in it in her absence. I had nothing to fear as I left the library, following the sound of her footsteps. I tried to be pleasant, to wish her a good morning, tangled within my asks of her future London home. The Countess seemed to ignore my attempt at doing my job. I found myself irritated at the time, and now I know she was simply biding time. I had left her to wander until nightfall. The castle just seemed more lively at night. As lively as the company of one could create. We joined for dinner again, and I did not bring up our affairs anymore. I decided that the Countess would talk about it with me once ready. She might have just been having second thoughts that she needed to rise past. Miss Mariam stared at me across the table, and I have not forgotten her eyes. I never realized how hungry they were, and how she did not touch her food just like the night before. This was just the beginning, though. What made me realize I had to write down my thoughts came just yesterday. Things added up less and less as my stay progressed. After a week within her care, after finding the doors always locked every time I looked, the Countess had come on to me. Dinner was as all the others, carrots or potatoes on the side, but there was something different in our banter. There was something in her words. I could only hold my curiosity for so long. I cannot exactly recall how one thing led to another, but I was soon in her chambers. Gentle silk sheets were spread under me to create a gentle canopy. It must have been the wine. Her long, wrinkled fingers slowly unbuttoned my blouse. I laid back. I let her hands drift south on my skin. Miss Mariam was gentle as she worked. She was gentle. When she cupped my breasts and when she toyed with me. She was alluring, holding my attention just as captive as she had been holding me. I watched as she pushed my shirt off my shoulders. Miss Mariam's touch slipped under my camisole, and for a second I could not think. I forgot all about her plans for London. The reason I was there in the first place, I felt trapped in her hungry gaze and under her thumbs. She played with me, whispered of how beautiful I was, how it was such a shame I put myself to waste by working. Countess Mariam pressed her lips against my skin, our clothes gone. I believe I understand why the affections of men never seemed to satiate me. The kind, the brutes, the ordinary. They lacked the care I found myself presented with. There was something this woman had that kept me bare and basked in moonlight under her attention. Her hands grazed over my ribs and danced against my hips. I could feel the slight catch on her nails from how they had become brittle with age. I did not mind her nails at all when she touched me. Kanaya could not seem to get enough of me, enough of my short breaths and quiet whines. She seemed to want nothing more than to pleasure me. Her lipstick smeared on my abdomen, and I can feel the slick trail of myself that she left along my body on the way to my collarbone. It was my neck that she was most interested in as we rocked within her chambers. As I writhed and huffed, whether it be that she was pressing a kiss or dragging her teeth along the thin skin over my throat, her teeth were sharp. Her breath cold. Kanaya, Miss Mariam, had more than just sensuality and sexuality in mind. She drank from me. Her fangs had sunk into my flesh as I laid bare in her bed beneath her. She told me I tasted like the finest of wine. And that I was just as delicate as the flower of my namesake. I was in shock. I could not make sense of what had happened at the time, blood dripping from my neck. Kanaya licked and she lapped, treating my life as if it was the thing she had been waiting to taste all along. She had skipped dinners. and kept her palate cleansed to savor me. Every pork roast and pickled cabbage roll was abandoned, so that she could have me. The people in town had warned me of things not being quite right, of strange creatures. It is her. She is strange, but in such a beautiful way. When she had pulled away from the pinpricks she created, my eyes must have been tricking me. Her wrinkles seemed to fade. Her jade eyes sparkling, she seemed no older than I. When I had focused through the blissful fog in my head, there was no pain. I awoke in my bed after our time together, and it is now that I write. Her kindness extended to tucking the blankets around me the prior night as well. I feel as if she took the delicate comment quite literally, treating me as if I am something fragile to her. I would gamble that she intends to keep me. I've always seemed to be lucky when it comes to my inferences. I do not truly have anyone back home that would call for me. My employer most likely cares less than not. Transylvania is not bad from within the confines of Miss Mariam's castle. As if I had many complaints before. She continues to host me, and I must say I was not fooled that night. She is beautiful in the way that an artist recognizes his muse. The hook to her nose, her dark lashes, all details that need to be forever stored within a fine oil painting. She bandaged my wounds from the prior night before I had slept, and greeted me with Eggs Benedict. She again did not eat, and I found my professional veil falling within her presence. I did not care that I was unkempt that morning, all the messiness of her doing. Kanaya's tea was lovely. Her smile was lovely. The slight curl in her voice was lovely. It was as if every word was meant to be dipped in the honey pot on the table. She acted like pure sugar. She acted with interest. It is a form of flirting, I believe. The back and forth. She continues to treat me with care in a state full of dizziness and lethargy. It was just as I had recovered that past repeated. She bit me once again, without pain and enough pleasure to embarrass myself as I put ink to paper. Miss Mariam knows just how to make me stay. She speaks of her wives, but I have not seen anyone else in this castle besides us. I do not miss her wording, her glances, and I do not miss a single of her attempts to fluster me. They work. It is terrifying, almost. She is some sort of creature of the night, and yet she has caught my intrigue like a moth to the flame. I attempt to send letters to my estranged brother through tradesmen that visit her, and she burns them as if knowing, secretly. I do not care about their fate. It is why I even bother to reach out to him. He would not do a thing about where I have found myself. It is like a ploy. A game of cat and mouse. More of the back and forth. I hear the howling of wolves in the night. And the voices of visitors whose stays are always short. I do not tend to watch them leave, and Kanaya keeps all of her attention on me. It is never daylight when we speak, and it is only when she unlocks her room that we entangle. I do not know where my future in Countess Mariam's castle may lead.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. Music composed by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.